How did that start out? Seek the Lord, he may be found. Yeah. Great passage, Larry, to pick. Awesome passage. Last week we were looking at five passages, very short, one-liners basically, most of them focusing on this command. It's a command, actually. Greet or salute one another with a holy kiss. And we need to get on bigger view here. Okay. Full screen mode. We had 3 points last week, and we only looked at that first one because I've been splitting these talks up into two parts. So this is part two. Cultural aspect was what we focused on mainly last week, looking at the form and function of these commands. The form is the kiss, and the function is a greeting. And we looked at some special times they use. Greetings in the Bible, we took a peek at speaking, the idea of speaking. Our example there was Joseph greeting his brother Benjamin. Of course, later when he revealed himself to them, they really became emotional and did probably a lot of this down here. We see bowing and kissing in the Bible. And came to this slide, contemplating absolute versus non-absolute. Under absolute, we have this weird phrase here, supercultural. That means the thing, what is it that's transcending and going above and beyond what was cultural back then? And the form and the practice was the cultural. In that culture, the kiss, or we use another example, was the cultural form or practice. But we want to concentrate on what transcends that. What was the function? What's the principle that we can take away from that form or practice? We used Jesus washing the disciples' feet. That form or practice of washing feet, what is it that we learn? What was he teaching them that goes above and beyond that? Just as I, the master, is washing your feet, you wash, you serve others. And we use Matthew 28 as an example. Go teach is the absolute, is the function, is what transcends some of the cultural things that would have been involved with them and even with us today, where and the how to do those things. So this is our second point today, super cultural, the idea of looking a little more closely at this. What transcends the cultural actual form or practice? And we may want to dismiss the idea of a kiss, but let's keep in mind the word holy is connected with it, right? Everybody see that? In all those passages, I believe, that Austin read last week, they were holy kisses is involved in the command. Today we might say a holy hug. We give one another holy hugs. And Barbara told me last week that she knew of a congregation where the elders at one point had to say, no more hugging. Now that sounds funny, doesn't it? But it's because people in the congregation, did I get this right, Barbara, were getting a little too huggy and a little too comfortable and cozy. What'd she say? Too intimate, yeah. And Barbara and I looked at one, we both agreed that's sad that it had to get to that point. And that just proves that human beings, we swing from one extreme to the other. Many people are so indoctrinated in their upbringing and everything. They're very, our culture's been very influenced by the Victorian age, where there's no touchy, no feely, don't show any emotions. And so there's a lot of people in local congregations don't want to have any kind of contact. It's So that's one extreme over here. And then the other extreme is what what Barbara was bringing up in that church where the elders had to say, you know, that's too much of that. Why can't we be balanced? That's just human nature, right? We're just swinging one extreme to the other. But that's the idea here. You can find a balance because he is attaching the word holy with this. It's different. This kiss or this hug in our culture is different than other parts. It's set apart. That's what the idea of holy means, for a special greeting. And as you see here, that means pure. It's righteous. But it's also not to be empty. In other words, a greeting takes place. That is the function there, is the greeting take. We'll expound on that in a minute. Let's use an example of Judas and Christ. Negative example. A kiss that was not holy. In that culture that Judas and Jesus lived in, the kiss was supposed to be an affectionate, respectful act towards a family member or somebody you respected. Now, he used it as a disciple would, we mentioned this last week, in kissing his teacher. And matter of fact, Judas says, Rabbi, right? Rabbi, he walks up to him and gives him this kiss. But it was not a special set-aside kiss. It was filled with malice. It was filled with betrayal. And it was carnal. Carnal in the sense that, what was his motive behind all this thing? Yeah, he was greedy. His motive had always been greed and covetousness. And so this is a negative example here of this kiss that was used back then. Judas used it to betray Christ. Let's go back to slide 10 again. And remember that a greeting, the whole idea is to focus on a greeting needing to take place. Some brethren, perhaps not in this congregation, I'm thinking of my experience with other congregations, they have a tendency to avoid one another when they're out of sorts with one another. Have you ever noticed brethren behaving that way? Oh, I'm out of sorts with one another, so I'm not going to sit near them. I'm not going to speak to them very much. Brethren, this is not acceptable in God's family. One aspect of unbelievers or outsiders judging God's people as true disciples is when they observe us expressing love for one another as God loved us. And all these one another passages, especially this one, but the honoring one another and being devoted to one another and encouraging one another and bearing with one another, those things are going to show and express to the outside world that we truly are loving one another as God loves us. If brothers and sisters aren't speaking to one another, aren't sitting next to each other, aren't greeting each other, this is a problem. Agreed? All right. You cannot be in a right relationship with God and be out of sorts on a continual basis, long-term, ongoing basis, with your brothers and sisters. We want to encourage one another, if I may steal that phrase, to go out of our way to greet everyone in the family in such a way that's not typical of the way you greet someone in the world. So back to slide 11, the father and the prodigal son. Remember how the father saw the lost son? I like that word better. The lost son from afar off, and he ran out and hugged him and kissed him and then prepared that feast. That's a great example of what we saw in slide 10 there. Pure and righteous and a greeting taking place. And special, making that lost son feel special. Paul and the Ephesians elders in Acts 20:37. There was physical contact there. Can we turn there real quickly? I know that's just one verse. Acts 20, verse 7. And I didn't mark that, but what's that? 20:27. Yep, excuse me. Thank you for Is that right? 36. 36 and 37. Okay. This is Paul with the shepherds from Ephesus. And they're over by the coast because he's going to sail off. And when he had said a bunch of things to them. And then he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they began to weep aloud. And they embraced Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they were accompanying him to the ship. And you might say, well, that's pretty specific. They embraced him and repeatedly kissed him. But we don't know exactly how they did that. We don't know if it was, I imagine this kind of thing where they took him by the shoulder or maybe up by the neck and some more embracing and then the kiss on both cheeks. Don't worry, Larry, I'm not going to be doing that. So a kiss on the neck, maybe. Maybe it's a good thing that he's not getting very, very, very specific in this, because we have a tendency to make it a ritual or bind it in some way. But on the other hand, this it is specific in the sense that you can see them just falling all over them. They're torn up to see him go. There's just a lot of emotion being expressed here, and it's a great example of. Even though we have all these commands, five commands, here's an example of how they use that kiss, right? It was holy, and they were expressing their deep emotion to him. He put it this way. When Paul sailed away, do you think there was any question in his mind whether he knew those brethren, especially those elders, respected him and loved him? There'd be no question. No question in their mind whatsoever. Okay, let's focus on what the function is. We're talking about a greeting taking place. And of course, it must be sincere. It must be genuine. Remember when Jesus saw Nathanael coming up to him, and without Nathanael saying anything, he said, "Behold, a disciple without guile." That's what we mean. That's an example of what we mean by sincere and genuine. There's no hidden agendas. When we're greeting one another with a holy hug, holy kiss, whatever it is, there's no false airs, no deceit. Our greetings need to be sincere. Because often the normal is, we gather, and some of you spend a lot more time with each other in talking and greeting one another, like before class, and that's great, that's wonderful. Often with church, especially as they get larger, well, hi, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. Psst. Oh, hi, how are you? Oh, I'm fine, thank you. Hi, how are you? I'm fine. In the first century, their greetings show that they considered one another different from the world. They were brothers and sisters in Christ. They had a family, spiritual family relationship. It was different from the world, so they greeted one another in a special, sincere way, and it was a sensitive greeting. Let's be completely honest and authentic once in a while, brethren, and try that. Just try being authentic, and maybe sometimes you need to say, I'm not really fine. How are you? Well, I'm not really fine. I'm struggling with a particular problem. Would you pray for me? Now, if I said that to Austin, it'd probably floor him for a little bit, but I know Austin's character. If he said, yes, I would, I believe he would. And many of you, I have that confidence. We ought to feel close to one another and enjoy the brother-sister relationships, especially if our other relationships, physical relationships, are not touched by God's love. Let's say a person's in a family of unbelievers, their whole extended family's unbelievers. When you come together in a spiritual family, in assembling on a regular basis, not just Sundays, but interacting with a spiritual family, what a blessing that is, isn't it? And there should be specialness there, if I could say that. And of course, this greeting, especially if it's a holy hug or a holy kiss, needs to be holy, not carnal. We talked about that. It must indicate love and concern, and reflect relational Christianity. In other words, the idea that we are, how many times have I said this in this one another series? We are family. We are family. Family. Can you hear that, Larry? Family. Spiritual family. Brothers and sisters. Let's look at some practical steps. Now, often speakers will use a technique that's kind of a shock technique. And this statement is, it's to get you to go, what? Does he really mean that? It's more for a shock effect. If you cannot do this, you do not love your brethren. Now, the idea here is, if you just cannot in whatsoever find some way to greet your brethren, and I'm not talking about just on Sunday, but to interact with your brethren, spend time with your brethren as much as you can, to best of your ability, we need to start asking ourselves the question, is it all about me? How many times in the One Another series have I asked that question? To ask ourselves, is it all about me? It's very discouraging to see people with that attitude, that they live in the world, they're living out, they come together and they kind of mingle with Christians, but their overall lifestyle it's all about them. Ask yourselves a question, is it all about me? We need to think outside of self. We're talking about selflessness. Cannot love your brethren and cannot greet, then ask yourself, do I really love my brethren? We weren't called to be loners, brethren, folks, church. We're called to be part of a community, part of a family. We should spend time in each other's homes. And at assemblies, we should stick around a little bit and talk to one another and get to know each other. We need to develop and extend closeness. Because of the commonality that we have in Jesus Christ, what we have is special in Jesus Christ, and it's eternal. If you don't want to spend time with brethren here on the earth, temporal, then what are you going to do when you're spending time with them eternally? Have you ever thought of that? You sit on this side of heaven, I'm going to sit on that. We can't even think in those terms. These commands are not optional, folks. The ones Austin read, I had Austin read, all the greet one another with a holy kiss. They're not optional. What concerns me, not just in this local group, but what I've seen in other churches, local churches, is people just come in late to assemblies, and then they leave quickly. And they're here in body. But what is missing, what they don't have time for, is the considering one another, to provoke one another into love and to good works. They don't have time for that. If they're just zipping in and out. There's no time for knowing each other as family members would get to know each other, or praying for one another, or having the body, Christ's body, in a local sense, function according to Scripture. There's no time for displaying honor to one another or expressing devotion to one another or encouraging one another. It doesn't happen. Those things can't happen if you're just zipping in and out and it's just a matter of punching a time card. That's the way we look at our assemblies, especially the Sunday morning one or the Sunday. It's just, I got to punch my spiritual time card, get the sacrament in, then I'm out of here. I'm good for the week. I'm exaggerating, but I've seen that attitude. Let's be aware of that part. The solution, where am I at? Make a sincere effort, or number two. Let's make a sincere effort to develop an interest in others. And as we've been alluding to, the solution is forget self, right? It's not all about me concept. Let's really focus on that. Dale Carnegie said, you can make more friends in 6 weeks by showing sincere interest in them than you can in 6 years by trying to get people interested in you, right? Make friends a lot faster by showing an interest in them instead of trying to get them to show an interest or to be interested in you. See the selfish idea he's getting at here, or the unselfish idea? How do you do that? Ask questions when you're in conversation with others, even if you know them a long time. Ask questions. Listen intently. Display a genuine interest. And you know what people usually do when you do that? They go away saying, wow, Nathan was a great conversationalist. I like talking to him. And all Nathan did was give an ear. Give an ear and showed a little bit of genuine interest. And people go away thinking, wow, that person, great conversationalist. And they're the one doing all the talking. See how powerful showing an interest in others is? That's the point here. He who has many friends must show himself friendly. That's an old saying. Show himself friendly. Think about it, folks. Think about a person who has no friends. Their family and relatives have no interest in God. They become believers. God adds them to the body, and all of a sudden their family just booms, doesn't it? It just multiplies because they have a spiritual family. Some of you may have experienced that, right? Your family grows when you get into Christ. That's a beautiful thing. And think about those who maybe move from one area and they come into this area and they begin to work and worship with us. Over the years, I think of Donna Frederick and her girls. Think about people like, and there's been many others, but think about especially military families. They come in And it's so much easier when you have a spiritual family who can help you, even with the little things like, this is a good mechanic down here, or this is a good place to go buy groceries here, or this, I would stay away from that part of town if you're looking for a house, you know, things like that. Makes things so much easier. And think about those going in foreign fields internationally, and if there's a local church there, what a blessing that is to right away have family and somebody who says from a local church, how can I be a servant to you? That's just a wonderful thing. Third practical step is consider the aspects of physical affection in greeting others. In other words, something that you develop that is special for your brothers and sisters. One brother in one church said, man, I'm not a hugger. I'm just not that way. And he was probably saying this to an evangelist in that local church. And so the evangelist said, okay, what kind of greeting can you give to brothers and sisters? A special greeting in a way that you don't greet anyone else. And the man thought about it for a little bit. And he said, yeah, I think what I'll do is instead of a normal business handshake. Now, I'm listening to this audio, so I never saw a video of what he did, but I think what he decided to do, I don't know if, stand up here a minute. Awesome. I think he went something like this, or more of a, like this, you know, more of the arm there. But he had something, and it could have been as simple as this, and he pat him, and that was his special, he was not a hugger, that was his special greeting, and he would tell people that, I'm greeting you this way because you're special to me, you're my brother and my sister. The guy was getting it, folks. The guy was getting these passages Austin read. He was getting the message, putting scripture into practice. You don't have to give a holy, you're not obligated to give a holy hug or a holy kiss, but you give that brother or sister a special greeting in a way that you don't greet anybody else in the world. And he developed something, and I'm kind of guessing. Thanks for being the guinea pig there for me, Austin. I'm guessing at what this guy developed, but he was getting the message of this passage. You see, something special that he developed. Now, a lot of you are very comfortable, have no problem hugging or putting your arm around, men to men or whatever. Some men just prickly, don't like that at all. You find out who are like that. And you just honor them and respect them. But over the years, I've noticed this group very affectionate in a holy way. Not what Barbara was talking about with those poor elders down there. And I hope we never get to that part of it. And I hope we don't get to where we're cold and stale and sterile either. So correct. correct. In conclusion, we need to avoid the extremes. We want to avoid just pure all-out emotionalism, if that's possible. But we want to avoid being carnal, too. Whether it's the Judas way, where there's some motive behind that, or carnal in lasciviousness and lewdness and all that. Of course, we don't want to go that direction. But we also want to avoid being sterile. We want to avoid being cold, unapproachable, and we want to avoid being standoffish, don't we? And we want to avoid having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So here in Mount Vernon, I'd like to commend you guys and gals every once in a while, and I commend you again. I think we do get beyond the, quote, five acts of worship that many local churches get stuck in a rut about. We kind of add to the whole 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 thing, and we develop our own catechism. That just makes things cold and sterile. And I'm glad this group gets beyond that, gets beyond just going through the motions. And I commend you for that. I think we really do greet one another with what's going on in these passages. Most people, whether they're visitors or not, brethren, they need to be enveloped, and loved. And yes, some need space, especially people who are doing what we call checking us out, you know, visiting for a while. They need space. But let's work at not allowing anyone to slip through the cracks. I remember a few years ago, for a long period of time, there was a family that came in here, sat behind where Rich is sitting, husband, wife, and two teenage children. And every Sunday morning, not for class, I think it was what we call this time period, sat there, I think where Mo is right now. And as soon as we were dismissed, right out the door. There was a couple times I got their name, and I had to ask a second time, and that family name just escapes me. But there's occasions where, in a local church, somebody might think, well, I'm not going to jump all over them with a greeting because six other people might be doing that. and then what is it? Nobody does it. If we have that attitude, nobody greets them. I don't know if anybody ever followed up with that family, but they shot out of here so fast, and I know we can't help that thing, that part of it. You can only do so much. People don't want to get closer, get more intimate, or have you know them, then you're not going to, right? But we never did follow up on them with them. I think they were from the Stanwood area. What's with these Stanwood people? They just... Or Luke and, what's his wife's name? Luke and Elizabeth. How many children do they have? One. Now, so present day, there's a good example of a family. They're from the Stanwood area. And so I commend the Pierces for reaching out to them. They've moved to an area there in that valley. A lot of flooding. Way more flooding than they anticipated on their property. They've had to move animals around and stuff like that. And the Pierces have offered to help and that. And they're being, I'm looking around, they're not with us today, right? They're being a little standoffish. But so let's pray, not just for the Pierces, but that the rest of us may have an opportunity to continue to extend warmth, excuse me, and a greeting, especially if they show up again. This is a good opportunity to do what we're talking about, not just with the greeting, but with the honoring one another and encouraging. Maybe that's a family we can. Do you know, or does any of us know whether they've been are believers? They've been, as far as we know, immersed into Christ. Okay. So they're believers, and sometimes we have unbelievers coming into our presence. Of course, we want to be warm and inviting to them too, obviously. But in your circle of influence, again, if there's any seekers coming your way, and you're not comfortable with sitting down there and teaching them about Christ. Keep me in mind, the other shepherds in mind. Be happy to study with them. Okay? So these thoughts are yours. And I hope that you can look for ways to put this into the practice or continue it, because I've already commended you for doing this. But these are the one another passages. You're going to rejoice and have a party today, but I'm going to put the one another passages on hold. Next time I'm up here, we're going to look at tradition versus traditionalism. And I'll probably make that a two-parter also. So we had song. Normally our custom to stand. You can stretch after this talk. Higher Ground 14. Let's go ahead and stand, and Austin will lead us in this.